Today's reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 through to chapter 3, verse 7. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they held their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in the same way submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to pray as we come to God's word together. Father, how we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is over all, the everlasting King. Thank you that he is the one who serves and saves us. Thank you that his ways are good. Please help us to hear them now and to put the gospel into practice in our homes and lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I went to university, I joined a small college hockey club. When you sign up at Freshers' Fair for that kind of thing, you ask a natural question. You say, what does it involve to belong to this club? At that point, the people running club explained that there were just two commitments each week, practice on a Wednesday afternoon and a match on a Saturday morning. It's pretty straightforward. I just slotted those two extra commitments into my exceedingly heavy diary, and they were just kind of add-on extras to my week. Later in that year, I met a few guys who played much higher level sport at the same university. Their experience could not have been more different. They were representing the university at rugby, and that commitment transformed their whole lives. It certainly wasn't some add-on extra in the diary. To belong to their club, it involved changing how they did the whole of their life, how they ate, how much they trained, how they slept, how much they were allowed to drink, everything. It was a transformed way of life. As we continue through 1 Peter, we're in the section where Peter is teaching Christians what difference Jesus makes to our lives. In chapter 1 and the first half of chapter 2, we've heard how Christians are those who now belong to God's new world, to God's new society in the Lord Jesus. They are a new people. And now from chapter 2, verse 11 onwards, we're in the bit where Peter shows what difference that makes, how knowing Jesus transforms our whole way of life. Look down with me where Wendy started in verse 21 of chapter 2. This is how Peter sums it up. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's the great privilege of being a Christian that we can follow in Jesus' steps, that we can walk in the way that he walked. And Peter here is showing us just how we can do that. And it's not by adding in extra commitments like my experience of the hockey club, but it's rather by transforming every area of our lives. You see, living out the Christian life, following Jesus, it's not found in a cathedral. It's not found in a missionary outpost. According to Peter, holiness is found in every single area of our daily lives. It's found in our homes. For Peter, when we think about living out the Christian life, we need to start with Jesus. We need to remember that he suffered for us. That is, that he willingly chose to humbly serve us so that we can be forgiven and loved by God. We need to remember that Jesus lived that perfect life of submission so that we, through his death, can be brought into God's flock. And what Peter then goes on to show us is what happens when we take that gospel into every area of our lives. We're going to concentrate for the bulk of our time together now in verses 1 to 7 of chapter 3. What Peter shows us in chapter 3 here is just what happens when we take that gospel into our homes. We're not going to split the verses up into two sections. Rather, we'll just work out two themes, two sides of the gospel message, and see how they change our life at home. Peter here is thinking about the way that wives and husbands relate to each other. First, we'll think about how the gospel, the message about the Lord Jesus, is the pattern that transforms our lives. The pattern. And then second, we'll spend some time thinking about how the gospel is also the power that transforms our lives. So first the pattern and then the power. So join me in verses 1 to 7. It'll help you to keep the Bible open. And first we'll think about how the gospel message is the pattern that transforms life. Peter starts his practical explanation of how Jesus changes us by addressing the wives. I'm sure you spotted that. He gives them a command that would have been very familiar in their culture and society 2,000 years ago. Have a look down with me at the first half of verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. It was commonly held in the Roman world that wives shouldn't seek to pull against their husbands. Families should be united and not divided under the authority of the husband for the good of society. Peter picks up that idea and endorses it. Wives should submit to their husbands. Peter means by that that where there's a difference in opinion, where there's a clear difference in desires as to what is right for a particular family, then authority remains with the husband. But before we rush ahead, Peter doesn't call on the wives here to do this because it's socially acceptable. In fact, what he's doing here is honouring the wives in a way that society at the time didn't. I'm sure you noticed that Peter devotes 6 verses to the wives and only 1 to the husbands. I think he's doing that because he's giving that time and space to the wives to say, to live as a Christian in that role. He's honouring and giving value to that role, the role that was looked down on in the ancient world. See, he takes here a role that was seen as inferior and claims it as an important place for Christians to live out their faith. It's a fact, isn't it, that when we read Bible passages that call on wives to submit, we can kind of hear the objections of our culture ringing in our ears. We might find that we have them ourselves. See, we hear a command like this, and we know that our culture would object strongly, either by saying it's old-fashioned, outdated, belongs in the previous century, or 2 previous centuries, perhaps. Perhaps even stronger, some people might say, look, this is cruel, it's damaging, it will lead to an enslaving idea, it will lead to wasted lives. So it's important for us to listen well here to what Peter is calling for, rather than jump to conclusions. When we read this, Peter isn't actually commanding a specific way of setting up family life. He's not assigning tasks within marriage. Rather, he's calling here for a particular attitude on the part of the wives. Let's read on. We see that in verses 3 and 4. Peter says, to the wives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So this takes us here to the heart of how the gospel about the Lord Jesus changes our everyday life. See, Peter is calling on the women here to take on a new kind of beautiful living. It's not that he wants them to pride themselves on how little they care about how they look. It's that he wants all of us to see that true beauty belongs in the part of us that only God sees, in our thinking and in our attitudes. See, Peter calls on the wives to submit to their husbands because it follows the pattern of Jesus. It seems strange to talk about Jesus being beautiful in that way, but he was. In his attitude and in his thoughts, Jesus was truly beautiful. He always thought of others first. He submitted himself to the Father's plan to save the world. He let go of his own preferences. He didn't push himself and his desires forward. He had that beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, a beauty that will not fade, a beauty that will not go out of fashion, but will always be beautiful in God's eyes. So by giving wives this instruction here, God's word is giving great honor to every home. God is saying that there, in that role, you can live like the Lord Jesus. That's not the only thing that Peter wants us to know about this particular way of life. It's not just a genuine beauty that lasts, it's also attractive. Have a look again with me at verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Peter knows, doesn't he, that true power, that inner beauty, spiritual beauty can have. He sees how it can have an effect on in relationships where one person knows the Lord Jesus and the other doesn't. It's not at all in this household that Peter's imagining that no words about Jesus have ever been spoken. It's not that there's some guarantee for success if we live our lives well enough in that kind of a relationship. But Peter knows that what will often be decisive in this husband's eyes who doesn't know Jesus, well, it's how the wife lives rather than what she says. I grew up in a house that was full of books and books about mountains, mountains in the Lake District, Wales and Scotland, coffee table books that were full of pictures of amazing places. Seeing the beauty on the page, well, it meant that I wanted to know more. I was fascinated. I wanted to go and see these places, to go and enjoy them, to go and see if they were as spectacular as they looked, to see them with my own eyes. Beauty is attractive, isn't it? See, Peter has shown us that the pattern of Jesus' life is a beautiful way to live, humble, loving, gentle, serving. And he knows that that beauty has the power to do what words often can't, and win people over. That's an important message for all of us, not just those of us who are married, who are wives. See, Peter knows that in our homes, yes, but also at work, in at school, even in the pub, there may be much more power in living like Jesus than we often think. So Peter here calls the wives to transform their lives according to the pattern of the gospel. But they're not the only group that he addresses in the household. Let's look on at verse 7 and see how he says similar things to the husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Again, here Peter sees the pattern of the gospel at work. It's a simple command he gives to the husband, simple but hard to keep. Be considerate. It means to think of others and not just yourself. means to be selfless, to think what will help the other, what will serve them. And then that consideration is meant to work itself out in action by treating wives with respect. Again, it's one of those parts of the Bible, isn't it, we could so quickly write off as old-fashioned. Perhaps it sounds patronizing. But it'll help again to just think briefly about what Peter means here when he describes wives as the weaker partner. In the Roman world, women were thought of as weaker in chiefly two ways. First, women didn't fight in the army because they were thought to be, on the whole, physically weaker than men. And secondly, women were, on the whole, lower in social status. They had less social capital than men, fewer opportunities, and less wealth. I'll leave it to you to decide what's changed and what's not. What this means, though, is that this verse isn't at all claiming that men are cleverer or emotionally stronger or psychologically stronger than women. See, culture changes. We would have to say that in many ways things are different today. But Peter's point here is not at all that men are superior to women. In fact, it's the opposite. They are equals. They are partners and heirs together. Peter's point is that where men find themselves in stronger positions, they use that strength to serve the other and not themselves. So Peter, again, is thinking about the pattern of the gospel. Think back to the Lord Jesus. How does he use his strength and privilege and status? Well, not to serve himself, not to put others down, not to dismiss, but to love those who are in need, to serve others. See, Jesus never calls us to do anything that he himself hasn't already done first. And that's something, again, that those of us who are husbands should seek to imitate in our marriages. So that's the first way that Peter wants the gospel to come inside the front door of the home. The gospel gives us a pattern of Jesus, the strong one, serving others, giving himself away, of submitting to the Father. And that pattern should transform our relationships, wives and husbands. I don't know about you, but it's at that point you listen to Peter's teaching and you find yourself wondering how you could ever live up to that kind of a call. That would be normal. God's word is a higher standard than we can ever keep. But the good news about the Lord Jesus, how he served us, it not only provides the example of how we should live, it also provides the fuel, it also provides the power that helps us to live in that way. So let's think about that more briefly. So second then, the gospel is the power that transforms our life, the power that transforms our life. See, for both wives and husbands, Peter doesn't just call these Christian believers to copy Jesus without also giving them the power so that they can. Have a look down, verses 5 and 6, where we see that. Verse 5. This is how the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Here, Peter points back to Sarah, Abraham's wife, in the book of Genesis as an example. Sarah certainly didn't have it easy. Abraham was definitely not the ideal husband. More than once, he tried to pass Sarah off as his sister, put her in grave danger. But Sarah still submitted to him, not rebelling against his plans, but following him. That's what it means here by she called him Lord. Not that every wife and husband need to do the same, but she recognized and followed his authority. The crucial thing, however, is that she did all of that as an expression of her hope in God. You see, Abraham wasn't the ideal husband. He didn't live up to verse 7 of 1 Peter 3. He didn't have Sarah's best in mind. He wasn't always considerate. But it wasn't him that gave Sarah confidence. It was her faith in God. She knew that she had a hope that God would look after her, even when Abraham didn't. She trusted that God would protect her. In verse 25 of chapter 2, the last verse before Peter addresses the wives, Peter reminds us that we have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. You see, the gospel is that Christians now have someone who will always look after them perfectly. And as we know that, it provides the power to follow Jesus' example of submitting to others. And the gospel provides the power for the husbands too. Have a look down with me at the last two lines of verse 7 again. Peter says there that the wives are heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The truth is, and we know it well, don't we, that husbands could easily listen to these six verses of instructions for the wives and become proud. Proud that somehow they're superior, but Peter will just have none of it. See, when it comes to status in God's eyes, husbands and wives are joint heirs of God's gift of life. And he stresses the point that it's a gift. This future inheritance in the new creation, it's something that Jesus has won for us, and it's nothing to do with our status and our strength. See, again, God calls the husbands to humbly remember that they are just as saved, just as loved as their wives. Peter warns the husbands that if they forget that, well, God doesn't listen to the proud. If we read these verses and just see that we're meant to follow Jesus' example, well, then we'll get discouraged. We'll see that it's too hard for us. See, what we need to remember is that we ourselves have a shepherd who looks after us, who treats us equally, who serves us. And as we remember that, as we know him better, will we find the power to follow in the footsteps, in the example, in the pattern of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus provides the pattern and the power for us to change our daily lives. Well, as we close, what might this mean for us today? How do we take this teaching into the week ahead? Well, a helpful place to close is to see what Peter says at the start. He says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Twice in the passage, Peter adds that word, own, for own husbands. It's a helpful word because it shows that the Bible must never be used to justify a two-tier society. It is emphatically not the case that all women should submit to all men. Wives, submit to your own husbands. It also shows that each of us needs to take responsibility before God as to how this teaching works out in our lives. Peter doesn't go ahead to give us practical examples of what that might look like. Instead, he gives us gospel principles which will be worked out differently in different households. People are different. Marriages are different, and roles within them will be different as well. What Peter does give, though, is a pattern, that gospel pattern. He calls on wives to recognize authority in their husbands, and he calls husbands to serve their wives and put them first. All of that flows from the gospel. And above all, this passage then is a call for us, all of us, whether we're married or not, to know Jesus, to know him as our shepherd, to see his example of serving others, and to bring that into every area of our lives. See, what Peter does here for the home flows out into every area of our lives. As we trust God and as we serve others, the gospel will transform all of our lives. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he entrusted himself to you. And thank you that he served others. And thank you that he submitted to your plan, knowing that you would look after him. And thank you that he has brought us back to you. Please, would you help us to know him and love him, have confidence in him, and to start increasingly to live like him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.